Welcome into Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, the Grizzlies had a late one last night against the Sacramento Kings. Took a loss, even though that should have been a win. I think it's a disappointing loss for the Grizzlies. We'll talk about that game, some takeaways, and more on this episode of Locked On Grizzlies.
Pull up, jump shot.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the show. Like I mentioned, the Grizzlies took a loss 128 to 123 against the Grizzlies last night. Just, you know, I think it's a disappointing loss. I know that we shouldn't say those things whenever the Grizzlies season, quote unquote, doesn't matter. And it doesn't. The Grizzlies can they can lose 18 million more games and it won't matter this season. That's not what this season is about. They could win a 45 more games and it wouldn't matter. That's not what this season is about. That'd be awesome if they did, but that is not what this season is about. And I understand that. And that's the context of today's show. We get it. You don't have to tell me that the season doesn't matter. You don't have to tell me that they can win or lose and it ultimately is a wash. But I know watching those games that I'm still emotionally invested in those games just like everybody else is watching this team. That is why we watch the Grizzlies play basketball. That's why anybody watches sports, because it's fun and we like to. It's why I said the other day, don't let people poo-poo on the idea of making the playoffs. It's fine. It's cool if you want to poo-poo it and that it doesn't matter and this team is bad and all this other stuff. That's fine. But guess what? I'm still going to get excited about the Grizzlies making the playoffs, and I'm still going to get disappointed when the Grizzlies don't win games that they should have won. And that's what this game was last night. It was a disappointing loss for me because the Grizzlies, A, were up by 20 points at some point. They were up so much. And this game was just a tale of just two. It was like watching two very different games. Honestly, it really was. It was watching two very different games from the Grizzlies between the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, and they were up so much, and they've been up so much before in this season. So that really doesn't surprise me because they've gone and crapped on other games before. But the fact that they just shot themselves in the foot, like they didn't. The Sacramento Kings didn't really go out and win this game. Like, they didn't really go out and win the game for the Grizzlies or against the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies just threw it away. Like, they just threw away the game when they could have had a win on the road against the Kings, when technically it does matter if you want to look at it like that. Like, I know that that's not what people want to hear, but it does matter if you're looking to make the playoffs, and I'm sure all those guys on the team are. They want to make the playoffs. They want to be in the postseason. Well, guess what? That game mattered because you were right there in the thick of things, and you still are, but you really needed to get one against a team, gets in a game that you probably could have had it. Let's talk about some specific takeaways from the game, and we'll do that. We'll talk about this. We're going to talk about this game and some kind of things around this game from pretty much the whole show today. We will have a Clippers preview show coming out later today as well. So look for that. And they'll have the other preview show. I believe they play the Suns. So we'll have that preview show. Those two preview shows coming out probably today and tomorrow. So look for those separately on the podcast feed. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, make sure you go and do so. Whatever podcast platform you're using, if you're in Apple iTunes, please go rate and review the show. It really helps me out, helps the show out. I would appreciate it. If you like the show, go leave a review. I really, really appreciate that. It helps the show out a ton over in Apple iTunes. So make sure you go and do that and subscribe so you don't miss any of these preview shows, any of these shows we talk to David or Mari or Joe, all those conversations. We're also coming out with a Andre Iguodala trade special. It's probably going to be like an hour long. It's going to be a long show. I might even break it up into two different shows, but We're going to be going through every team or trade that is a possibility. And we'll also have writers on from every single team to kind of give their thoughts on what, if the Grizzlies, it's possible, would their team do it? All those type of things. So you're going to hear from me, you're going to hear from writers, and you hear some from some national NBA people. So those, that is not to miss. It's probably going to come out next Monday. Sunday or Monday is when I'm hoping to have everybody's audio in from all the other shows. I'm going to put it together and put it out. So make sure you look for that as well. But let's get to this game that happened last night, this disappointing game. The first thing is the Grizzlies shot themselves in the foot. Turnovers. I mean, it was a tale of two games. It was 42-26 first quarter. Second quarter, Sacramento outscored the Grizzlies 37-18. Third quarter, the Grizzlies came back and outscored the Sacramento Kings 37-27. And then the fourth quarter, 38-26. I mean, like what I was saying, it's a tale of two games. You have a team that plays fantastic in one quarter, and for whatever reason, and I've got to go look at the lineups and see maybe if that was the issue, but for whatever reason, they just couldn't get it together in the second and fourth quarters. I mean, it just really was very, very difficult for the Grizzlies in that situation to really get anything going at all. I mean, it just looked like, and again, it's the Kings, not the Kings defense was just stepping things up, but the Grizzlies were just coming down the court and literally throwing the ball away. Ja Morant did it a couple times. De'Anthony Melton did it a couple times. I mean, they were just fumbling the ball. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. had a turnover late in the game that it was in the fourth quarter whenever it was crunch time, and those turnovers are just like magnified by just a ton when you walk down the court and no one is really doing anything to you and you're just throwing the ball away. That's tough. What's even worse is whenever you're fumbling the ball and they're not really stealing the ball, they're playing defense, you're fumbling the ball into their hands for open layups. That is even worse because a lot of their shots or turnovers led directly to Sacramento Kings points. Yeah, they had 17 turnovers for 19 points from the Kings. So almost every turnover there directly related at some point in some way, form, or fashion. So that's tough. That really is tough. And that is really the key to this game is that they killed themselves. The turnovers were huge. They had 17, and they normally have about 13 or 14 per game. And that's just too much. I mean, and the Kings were credited with 9 steals, but I don't think a lot of those steals were steals. I mean, there's a couple, again, at the end of the game that were just the Grizzlies fumbling the ball, and that fumble, the ball went right into the hand of the Kings defender. Just that's not a steal to me. And then they're going to get a credit for a steal, but that's really not a steal at all. Jay Crowder had 19 points, had a pretty decent game. He came on in the middle of the game, but then late in the game, just some bad shots, just bad shots, really and truthfully. I don't get the 31 minutes for Jay Crowder and 9 minutes for Kyle Anderson. I'll continue to say that. I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on, but to me, I wish they would trade Jay Crowder so they could take him away from Taylor Jenkins, but that's just me. I don't get it. Again, I don't – Solomon Hill, 14 minutes, and Grayson Allen only 6 minutes. So I'm not really sure what's up with that either. Grayson Allen didn't have a lot of minutes in that game as well, even after playing a really good game the game before that. So that's really strange to me. The lineups are usually all over the place. There's no real rhyme or reason yet. I mean, and I think that's really just experimentation. And that's kind of what I'm going with Kyle Anderson and the Grayson Allen and Jay Crowder having 30 minutes. It's just experimentation. And then this staff is trying to figure out who all these players are, but also trying to win games at the same time. We're also trying to play veterans at the same time and keep those guys happy. So, like, it's a real bad combination right now. It's not just a bunch of young players that you're trying to develop and you just throw them all out there and see what happens. So you have a combination of things that is probably the reason for those weird lineups and weird minutes. That's what I'm probably going to go with. So, that's what I'm telling myself. Because that's the only explanation I can really point to is that Taylor's and his staff are just trying to figure things out. So that's really all I got there. Someone asked me on Twitter last night, and that's the answer that I have right now. Jonas Valanciunas, he was just a bad defensive game. I mean, it was a really bad defensive game from him, especially late in the quarter. And we're going to talk more about this in the second segment. We'll get into defense here in a minute. Dylan Brooks, man, we had a bad Dylan Brooks game. 15 points, 3 for 10 from 3, 6 for 16 from the field. Just some really, really bad shots. I know our buddy Keith Parrish at Fast Break Breakfast the other uh, another NBA podcast. He also has a Grizzlies podcast, Grits and Grind. And if you're not listening to that, go do that as well, because he does a great job of always tweeting out Dylan Brooks' wild shots and wild one-on-ones. And it's just, it's always fascinating because they always look usually the same. And I'm always amazed the fact that it continues to happen. Like, I don't know about Dylan Brooks anymore, man. I really don't. I don't know. I think that it's a time to start questioning whether Dylan Brooks is a long-term piece on this team, even as a role player. Because the fear is that when Dylan Brooks just gets this amount of shots and this amount of minutes, that he's a guy that is going to take those same amount of minutes. Like, is he a guy that's going to take those same amount of shots and minutes once another wing that's better than him gets here? Because it's coming. I mean, it doesn't take much. It might even come this year in a trade when a wing comes here that's better than Dylan, and now he's starting and Dylan's on the bench. Is Dylan going to take that okay? Is he going to still jack the same dumb shots out of rotation like he does now just from the bench unit instead? Like, that's a serious question that you'd have to talk to yourself about. Like, and the coaching staff and the front office, those are the questions they have to answer. But is Dylan Brooks going to do that? Is he going to continue to be all right with playing in the role as a role part of this offense? And he did it before, you know, so I assume yes. But he's got this taste of starting. He's got this taste of taking 16 to 18 shots a game. Like, I just don't know if Dylan Brooks is going to go back to that. And I don't know if he's a long-term part of this plan. And I think you have to seriously question yourself about that now, because when he's good, he's great. But it's so often, there's so few and far between that he's good. And he's great in that term of offense. And he's great in his role. And he's effective in the offense, because more times than not, he's jacking up shots or not passing the ball or playing lazy defense. That's more times than not. And so do you want to just be okay with him being good every once in a while, or do you want to trade him to get something for him? For me, if anybody asks for Dylan Brooks, I mean, I'm not saying no, depending on what it is, that's for sure. And I wouldn't be tied to Dylan Brooks in any way, shape, or form. And not look, he's going to cost a lot of money this year because he is a restricted free agent, but I don't think you should be tied to Dylan Brooks in any way. I think that you should listen to all offers, and even if someone wants Dylan Brooks in a package to make a bigger deal, make a better, you know, a better young player to get that player here, you should do that. Because I think there are a lot of Dylan Brooks in the NBA, and I think there are very little high caliber wings. There was a lot of high caliber wings that could shoot. There was all these wings that were excellent shooters, then everybody have one. That's just like a rare thing in the NBA. Like, there's not a like excellent high quality wings that can shoot the ball, because the Grizzlies have been looking for one for a decade now. If there were so many, we'd already have one by now. So if that comes a calling and Dylan Brooks is the piece that gets it over the top, you should not be hesitant in that deal at all. You should do the deal and get rid of Dylan Brooks and bring whatever piece you have back that's a better quality player and put on this roster. That's all I'm saying is I think it's a serious question now where you have to ask yourself, what is Dylan Brooks long-term on this team for the Grizzlies? What is he going to do for you? What does he provide to this team? Are you going to get return on that investment in the coming years on this team with this makeup, with this roster, if that includes also a better wing to him that is starting and he is not? It's a question you have to ask yourself. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. I went way too long on Dylan Brooks, and I apologize, but it's something that I've been thinking about, and I think it's something that you should think about as well. The Grizzlies also they were terrible on defense last time. So defensively, the Grizzlies got to get it together. I'm not really sure what they're doing. We've talked about this before on this show, but Jonas Valanciunas was one of the worst defensive games that we've seen in a long time. And I've already tweeted some of this stuff out. So go to my Twitter page @King_producer. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. But there's a play late in the game where Jonas is just guarding the paint. The high screen is there. It's actually a side screen and roll with Richaun Holmes and Buddy Hield. And that's all it is. It's just a simple side screen and roll. That's it. And Jonas Valanciunas is literally standing right outside the restricted zone. I mean, you couldn't be further from your player if you wanted to. I don't understand how it's possible to be further from your player. But he doesn't move. All he does is stand there and wait for someone to drive at him. But Buddy Hield sees the fact that, well, I'm wide open now because DeAnthony Melton is the one getting screened out of the play. I'll take an open three. And he splashes it in his face. And that's late in the game. That's like three or four minutes left. And the Grizzlies, it's close. And that really kind of put it put it over the top because you didn't play defense. And now it's not DeAnthony Melton's fault, even though that's DeAnthony Melton's man. Like, whenever you get screened out of the play as a guard, it is impossible. It is impossible to get back to your player. That is what a screen is designed to do. It is designed to knock you off the player so that player gets free enough to get an open shot. That is literally what it's designed to do. And if you don't have any help in that situation, then you are dead. You are dead in the water. There is no any way, possibility, shape, or form for you to get back to your player to get a hand in his face. Now, if the screen is set improperly or not a good screen, then maybe you can get back to him and get back in front of him. But if you have a good screener, and Richaun Holmes is a good screener, it's impossible to get back to your player because it does what it's designed to do. It knocks you off balance, knocks you out of the play, and that is when it's the big's job to do something to help. Typically, now, there are different schemes, and in the Grizzlies, what their Grizzlies scheme is doing right now is they're playing a drop coverage, which is designed to force different shots in the paint, designed to have better rebounding, all that kind of stuff. But the fact remains that it's still not good. You can tell me what the scheme is all you want. I get that. I understand what the scheme is. But what I'm telling you is the scheme isn't working. It just isn't. And I don't understand how we can continually look at the defensive scheme and say, all right, sounds good. Let's keep doing that, because it's costing you games. Even this game coming down in the fourth quarter, the biggest issues were turnovers and defense. Those were the biggest issues for the Grizzlies. When they ran their offense effectively, they did pretty good at it. And I've seen them run Jonas out, not even to blitz, but you don't even have to blitz. You don't even have to iso pick. You don't have to do any of that. You don't have to hedge high. You don't have to do any of that. If you're afraid of getting blown by the guard, and which is what the Grizzlies are afraid of, you don't have to do any of those things to be effective on the defensive end. All you have to do is just step up a little, like just come up a little to show yourself, make yourself big. That's what you are, to give your guard enough time to get back to the player. That's all you have to do so that you can keep your role player in front of you, but also keep the guard in front of you to your left and your right. And when the guard makes a decision, you're there. And you give enough time, all you're doing is buying time for your player. That's all you're doing in that situation, is buying time for DeAnthony Melton to get back into the play and guard the guard. That's all you're doing. So really effectively, you're just, again, you're just making yourself big. You don't have to like do anything. And if you get blown by, you get blown by. Like De'Aaron Fox is so fast. Like, you get blown by, you get blown by. Like, that's just really the reality of the situation with De'Aaron Fox, is that he's super fast. But like Buddy Hield and these other players, like, you can get in front of them because they're gonna take the time to make the decisions based on the coverage you're giving them. So if you're just stepping up just a little bit, stepping up, not even all the way outside hedging, you don't have to ice, you don't have to do any of those things, but you do have to step up to your defender so that your offensive player can get back into the play. That's really what this is about. It's not about putting a different scheme out there. It's not about Jonas being better. I get Jonas is not a great defender. I get Jonas is probably slower than the guards, and you're afraid you want to get him blown by, but you have to give your offensive players, your other guards, a chance. You got to give them a chance to get back in the play. That's it. That's all I'm saying, is you got to give them a chance. And right now, they have no chance in this situation. They have zero help, because literally, Jonas Valanciunas is sitting right outside the restricted zone just waiting for someone to come at him. And even when they do actually drive right at him, he just backs. And so finally, like, fine, I'll just take this little bitty floater. And that's what they do. And they make it all the time. It happens in every single game this season. So you have to either make a decision once they're driving at you, then you have to make a decision to step up and at least contest a shot. Like, do something. Even this game last night, the contests from Jonas Valanciunas were terrible. They're like half-hearted, like, oh, nah, well, they're right there. I'll just try, see if I can maybe put my hand up. No, like, just be big. Just stand up and put your hand straight up. That's all you have to do, is be big. But Jonas Valanciunas is more worried about the rebounds than he is the contest. If you go back and look at the film, go back and, again, watch the few clips I put out on my social media, and you'll see the laziness on defense and the contest, and he's more worried because as soon as that shot goes up, he obviously starts to turn and box out, but he's more worried about that rebound and offensive rebound than he is about the contest. So, you know, yes, I want the offensive rebound. Yes, I want you to be worried about rebounding as well, but there is a fine line. You have to be able to do both. as a big man. That's what the job is as a big man, is you have to be able to do both. Richaun Holmes can do both. Nikola Jokic can do both. Rudy Gobert can do both. Like, these players can do both. And Brandon Clark can do both. I mean, so it's just in terms of athleticism that he can't. And I get that. And you just have to, you got to sacrifice the one for the other. So I'm not really, I don't really care about that much as about the contest as I do about dropping so far back as to getting your players absolutely no help. That's the more important thing to me, is that you have to understand that the guards, they got to have some help. Like, you can't just get screened out or play and hope to get back. It just won't work. And especially when you have a big, really good screener, a really good big like Richaun Holmes, you know, it's impossible. Now, again, a lot of these bigs aren't very good screeners, and you can get away with it. You can get back to the guard easier, but not when you have playing a good big like that. So that's all I'm going to say about defense. I understand the scheme, but the scheme isn't working. So it's time to change the scheme. Welcome back to the show. Finishing up today about the Grizzlies-Kings game. And the last thing that I want to talk about is De'Anthony Melton. De'Anthony Melton's a player. I mean, early and truly, he's a player. And I don't know if he's a starting caliber player in this league, but I think it's close. I really do. Like, he does a lot of things. 16 points last night. He was 5-for-7 from the field, 5 rebounds, an assist, a steal, a couple turnovers. Again, he'll take that. The aggressiveness that he plays the game with, the rebounding, his rebounding from a guard position is so, so good. And it's, you know, again, that goes back to the conversation about Dylan Brooks. Like, is De'Anthony Melton better than Dylan Brooks? I don't know. Right now, I don't know. It's a small sample size, and it's really hard to tell right now. But it seems like it, like on some nights. I mean, he was last night. He was definitely last night. He played better defense. He is more efficient in his shots. He rebounded the ball better. So, yeah, last night he was better. So you have to really – that's a question you have to ask yourself. Is De'Anthony Melton better than Dylan Brooks? Like, is De'Anthony Melton going to be the wing off the bench that you rely on and Dylan Brooks is not? And that's why I also think that it's another conversation of having Dylan Brooks conversation about how long he's on this roster, is that you have someone like De'Anthony Melton that you've kind of lucked into. Not lucked into because they knew who he was when they traded for him, but, you know, that makes the conversation easier for sure. When you have someone on your roster already, you go, well, we can have this guy or this guy. And I'm sure you can get De'Anthony Melton much less for money-wise, much less money than you can Dylan Brooks, and for more years. Like, I'm the Grizzlies. I'm giving De'Anthony Melton a 3-year deal at the end of this year, period. And it's not going to be a lot, but it's going to be enough to where he outplays that contract for sure. And Dylan Brooks, I don't know. I mean, you know, he's going to have other teams interested in him, and you're going to have to match some kind of weird offer if that's the case, I think. I don't think he's going to get anything crazy, but I think he's going to get an offer that you're probably going to have to match. And it may be an offer that it's uncomfortable to match. So is De'Anthony Melton Dylan Brooks' replacement? I don't know at this point. But it's a conversation that I would have internally if I'm the Grizzlies, and I'm sure they are. He's not as good shooter from outside the paint, but he does so many other things better. And Dylan Brooks is a guy who, when he gets hot, again, like I said, when he gets going, he's going. And when he gets hot, he can really shoot the ball. But De'Anthony Melton is consistent in what he's doing for you on the team. He's consistently efficient. He's consistent in his rebounding. He's consistent in his defense. He's consistent in his just overall hard play. Like, you know what you're going to get from De'Anthony Melton every single time you put him on the floor. And with Dylan Brooks, you just don't know. That's the biggest conversation point, is you just don't know what you're going to get. Some nights you get Dylan Brooks scoring 20 points and you win a game. And some nights you get Dylan Brooks scoring 18 points and you, or excuse me, 15 points and you lose a game, because all of those shots he took were dumb, including one last night on a fast break when you could have slowed it down or could have drove to the basket. He bricks a three in a crucial, crucial point in the game. And, you know, you really needed those points. You really needed to take either go straight to the basket and hope for, you know, try to draw a foul, or slow the game down and play the offensive possession out, because that was a key possession. And Dylan Brooks just came down, jacked a three, bricked it, and you move on. And it's kind of like you just feel like everybody's, oh, well, that's it now. Dylan Brooks ruined it. But that's not what you're going to get from De'Anthony Melton. De'Anthony Melton is a smart player, and he's just consistent. And you know what you're going to get. And I swear to you, coaches love consistency. When they can put someone on the floor for a certain amount of minutes, they know exactly what they're going to get from them every single night. When they know what their production is roughly going to be all the time, they love that way more than the opposite. I guarantee you that. They love a shooter, but they love consistency even more. If you're not already subscribed to the show, make sure you go and do so. Make sure you go leave a review in Apple iTunes. I really appreciate that, guys. Again, make sure you look out for the preview episode for the Clippers tomorrow, as well as the Suns coming up as well. The Andre Iguodala trade special will be out soon. It'll be a really long show, or might break it up into two, depending on what I decide to do. Either way, it'll be out for you guys to listen to. So make sure you go and subscribe so you don't miss any of those shows coming up for this week. Go follow me on Twitter at King_producer. Go follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnGrizz. We will talk to you on Monday, so make sure you get those Monday mailbag questions in as well. Shoot them to me throughout the weekend. DM them to me on Twitter. Any way you want, just give me the questions in. We'll talk about those on our Monday show in the third segment of the show like we always do.